Did you know, I'm going to tell you a secret, that you are loved, valued, and accepted? Right where you're at. I don't care how stupid you were even before you came in here. Therein lies the problem. Let me get on this message because that might end up coming out of it too. We've been showing this forever, but I'm always wanting to remind you. Justification is me in Christ. Sanctification is Christ in me. Watch this. You will never understand and be, you will never choose sanctification if you don't believe in real justification. Because if you don't believe that Christ took care of everything for you on the cross, and that he seriously meant it when he said to Tetelestai, it is finished, then you're always going to be finding something in you that needs to be fixed, or, and this is even worse, something in someone else that needs to be fixed, so that way you don't have to look at yourself. So sanctification is a choice. In fact, my point today, you want a title, we're calling this Freedom and Choice. Sanctification is where we find our freedom in Christ. That's me in Christ. Sanctification is where we choose the Christ that's in me to allow that to come out. That's a good scripture. So Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and a slave's not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So watch this, if the son sets you free, then you're really free. Now back up and pay attention to what that says. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. He's saying if you're a slave to sin, you're not a permanent member of sin. But if you're called a son, watch, if you're called a son, then you're part of the family forever. What is he saying? He's saying, I set you free. If I do what I'm fixing to do on the cross, I'm going to totally set you free. And it really is the freedom from from all kinds of stuff. So through the blood of Jesus, we have been set free from death. What do you mean death? I'll die. Yeah, you'll die, but you'll be alive. You'll change milk cartons and you'll have a better body. And the grave. And by the way, from the power of sin. Part of understanding, just Jesus really meant it when he said that. I've taken care of the power of sin. So, but our power that we have is the power of choice, that whole free will thing. So as Christians, the enemy has no dominion or power over us, none. So we are totally free in Jesus except for one thing, choice. The choices that we make and what we choose. Our choices, good or bad, affect our lives. Now watch. Adam and Eve were not mindless robots. You know, God could have made people that didn't have free will. He could, but then it would have been robotic. And so whatever he programmed into this computer would be what would be spit out. And that's just not going to work here, guys. So again, justification is freedom. Sanctification is choice. This message is fixing to turn a little bit, by the way. I had an old friend of mine that felt like he had missed having a fulfilled life with God. Now he did come to understand that it's really about today and not yesterday. But what he said to me was this, is interesting. He said, when I first trusted Christ, I allowed the enemy to remain. And so here's what I want you to see and understand and really grasp today. Christians aren't sinless. We just try to sin less and resist evil. Now here's where I'm going to give you who we are as a church, and who we have been as a church forever. I've throughout the years, everybody's talking about, man, you're always talking about loving and serving. Let me make something extremely clear. That's all the Christianity is about on our part. That's it. There's nothing else to add to that or take away from it. I want to show you some stuff in Scripture here. Watch this. Out of Galatians, it says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Don't use the freedom that Christ has given you to do dumb stuff. But what are we supposed to do with this freedom? Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Here it is. This is very important. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of the destroyer of one another. Now here's where I want you to see. This is where the battle is. The battle is between the flesh and the spirit, but the battle is to serve people in love. But I want to share this with you because this just, the Lord woke me up with this. Actually, early in the morning, 3 o'clock. Why doesn't he like do early? Why didn't he do it like when you're awake? You know what I'm saying? Is this because he wants to get your attention, or it's like you're sleeping too good now that you don't have to get up all the time, go to the bathroom, wake up. No, I'm kidding. I'm so grateful. Here's what I want you to understand. As you all know, my wife ran for city council and was elected. Yeah. That's not the important part. Here's the important part. We've been here 27 years in this community. And I told God, here's what's so funny. I told God, well, now see, I'm so honest. I told God last night and today, I don't want to yell and I don't want to cry. I said, so don't let me cry or yell. So I almost start crying, but I didn't. So our city before the election was in a very it was very volatile. There was just a lot of anger and hatred and what have you. And it through a series of events, you know, you had the police and the fire political action group that was supporting candidates, and people were saying they don't even live in our city. Why should they do that? And it was just brutal. But out of this slogan of Gay's, Haltom Stronger Together was her slogan for her campaign. Out of that slogan, some of the strangest things have happened. Every city council person, mayor, city manager, assistant city manager, employees are wearing the button that says Haltom Stronger Together. But that's not what he woke me up about. Here's what happened. Out of that also, the Haltom Stronger Together, these young millennials, you know, those nasty millennials that we like to say are nasty millennials. Bunch of these young millennials put together this thing called, and this was out of Gay's help, Haltom Strong Squad. And the whole purpose of it was to create something where people would help and aid other people in the community, just get people involved in doing volunteer stuff. So, yeah, that's cool. But out of that, this is where I'm headed, sorry. But you had to know that before I could tell you this. Out of that, about 4 days ago, the leader of the Haltom Strong group went to one of our senior citizens whose yard, because of the weather and because of the horrible storm, there was a monster tree hanging over her house fixing to fall on it. And when they got there, because she's older and she can't take care of stuff, the yard was crazy. So here's what happened. 6 or 7 firefighters who don't live in our city, a couple of the city council, several other employees of the city, regular folks of the city, showed up to her house for 2 days and cleaned it up and pulled this. They had a video, this tree was hanging about. Got this tree down in about 4 hours, pulled it over so it wouldn't fall on her house, cleaned the backyard up. She was totally freaked out about it and happy about it. But I was completely, and then of course when they posted, it's like, halt them stronger together. And I put a thank you on there. I said, words cannot express the thanks that we have for what you guys did. I said, this was more than a work project. This was a mindset change for Haltom City. And just thank them all for that. And that is the truth. Because if you, of course, you don't know all the ugly, there's people that were very ugly that were very supportive of what just happened. There's a mind shifting that has happened. And I want to make this extremely clear to you. It did not happen because that we thumped people with repentance, which is not in the word, but we actually saw a metanoia change, a change of mind, a change of, and the only thing that caused that change to occur was the love of Christ without saying a word about him. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is very important for you to understand, because that's who we are as a church. Our church and who we have been, but now God has decided in his sovereign time that for such a time as this, to allow this to be salt in the city, which, by the way, the original title of the book that I wrote was called Salt in the City, and my publishers made me change the name because they said it wouldn't sell copies, which is what it's all about. So that's why it's called The Significance of One. But we are now salt in the city, which means what? A little sprinkling, and look what it's doing. And I'm here to tell you today, God is raising up leaders, and a lot of those leaders are going to come out of this place because you've been getting this and understanding this. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is nothing more important than what I'm teaching you today. Nothing more important. And I've hit it at all angles for my whole life, but now we're starting to see, wow, we're starting to see this happen. So we've given out buttons. We're doing everything we can. You know, I pray in the name of Jesus. Our slogan becomes that for the city. I mean, we got a slogan now called "This place is your home" or something. Anyway, I'm not sharing that to brag. Take it for what you will. Here's the bottom line: the culture has changed, but the command to serve others in love has not. Our culture has crazily changed. In fact, what do we go back? Maybe 15 years before Facebook and MySpace and all that. I mean, it's not that long ago when everything in our culture has changed. Because people can now people can now put their true feelings out in a social media way rather than just keeping them to themselves or having their own little people talk. Our culture has changed. And here's what I love about me. I'm getting older, but I'm staying on top of this. I'm a little bit computer challenged, but not real bad. And what I'm saying is we are in a prime position to increase the love that we give. But I'm gonna help you with this. I really do have a message here. I just got sidetracked a little. So, this is what you need to understand, and I put this in caps, the word personal in caps. Our personal battle is between the spirit man, right, and the flesh man. The halo man and the horns man. You remember those cartoons, right? You know, why don't you do this? Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, why don't you do this? Oh, no. So I'm trying to give you a visual so you can get it. So that's the battle. And it's between the spirit and the flesh, with the soul in the middle of all that, emotionally deciding what to choose. That's what free will is, where we emotionally decide what we're going to choose between the devil man and the God man, the halo man and the horn man. Thank you. Somebody says, I know them horns. Here's how the scripture says it, since I'm not that clear. So I say, let means what? Choose. So I say, let or choose the Holy Spirit to guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are just the opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your sanctification, your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the law of Moses. We have the same choice when we go into a restaurant. We have the same choice of a cheeseburger or a salad. You hear what I'm saying? There's days where I've decided I deserve the cheeseburger. Unfortunately, more days I deserve the cheeseburger than the salad. Do you hear what I'm saying? And here's another interesting thing. We'll go to the same restaurant for 20 years. We've been going to Hop Route for 20 years. It still takes me 20 minutes to decide on what I'm going to eat, even though I'll end up probably getting the same plate. This is exactly what we're talking about here. See, here's the problem. Sin tastes good, and it appeals to the flesh because it craves it. Now, let me make something real clear here. Some struggle with some sins. Some struggle with other sins, but sins are not ranked by degree of difficulty. Sin is sin, man. And the coolest thing is, again, understanding justification, that Christ took care of all of that on the cross for me. I have to honestly believe that, because he really, really did that. Yeah, I told him about not ranked. I wrote down Coke, Pepsi, RC. Are you a Coke fan, Pepsi fan, Dr. Pepper fan? The bottom line is, all of them have the same calories, carbs, and caffeine. It's like, pick your poison. So if I judge you for being a judger, who's doing the judging? That's what my wife kind of touched on today. If I hate you because you hate, see, you get what I'm saying about this love thing. It gets worse. Oh, let me finish up here. I did finish that. Let me see if I'm there yet. Is that Romans? Yeah, I'm almost there. Stay there. Don't read it yet. So here's what happens. Well, you know what? Turn that off so they won't read it. This is what I want you to see and understand, because this is, again, extremely important. Because we have forever decided what sin is, and we have forever decided it has to do with the Ten Commandments, and if you don't do those, then you're not sinning. Right? Sinning is the word harmatio, and it literally means missing the mark. So things of the Spirit don't taste good to the flesh. Things like humility don't taste good to the flesh. I mean, don't taste good to the Spirit. To the flesh. Humility doesn't taste good because humility is all about me. Pride is all about me. You get it? Things that don't taste good to the flesh. Kindness does not taste good to my flesh. Because if you cut me off in traffic, I certainly don't want to drive up next to you and wave and say, it's okay. It's all right, buddy. You know, just pay attention next time. That's not in my nature, my sinful nature. But it is in my spirit nature. And I got such a great epiphany of this just 2 days ago. So if you've been driving around me lately, man, you're going to see I've backed off of you. You're going to see that when you turn a corner and don't use your blinker, I'm okay with it. Is that just not spiritual enough for you, or do you just want a hammer? So humility, kindness, love. Our flesh does not like love because love, we'll love to a degree, but not this agape love that Jesus has, because we don't want to. Our flesh doesn't agree with mercy. You don't deserve mercy. Oh, yes, everyone does. You're valued, loved, and accepted, whether you believe it or not, or whether even I believe it or not. You mean I don't have to? You don't have to change a thing. You will change, but you don't have to change a thing. You'll naturally change as you stay in the vine. It's just a natural occurrence. But the problem is we've got to stay in there. So, mercy, grace, let me keep going here. Desires of the flesh, watch this, repulse the Spirit, and the Spirit's desires repulse the flesh. Here's the bottom line. Here's what I put. One thing's for sure. There's a personal decision to make. Again, I put that in caps because it's a personal decision. Has nothing to do with you fixing somebody else. Listen to me. This is the essence of the gospel. Jesus told us to proclaim the euangelion, is that word, the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus. The good news is what he accomplished for us on the cross. The good news is you're valued, loved, and accepted, not because you deserve it, but because he gives it to you out of his love for you. Because remember, we established that he actually is love. So, let's go scripture. Owe nothing to nobody. This is Paul writing to the Romans. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, look at this, you will fulfill, I just read this in another scripture, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, watch, you must not commit adultery. Oh, yes, that's finally getting to the good stuff. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. All that yuck that you battle in your is summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. Therefore, love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Watch, this is important. Adultery, murder, stealing, and that word covet literally means a strong desire for what somebody else has, like their money or their position or their relationship with somebody. That's what this means. And other commands that he said, all of those that he said right there, wrong other people. Do you get it? If you commit adultery, you're hurting somebody else. If you covet something, you get it. You can look at me. It's okay. I'm not. Some people are like, okay, that's when I know you get it. But here's what's hilarious. I'm really going to paint a really dark picture here, kind of, if you think. But this falls short of the sanctification that God desires and that Jesus taught. Oh, we want to talk about, let's talk about what he taught. Because what he taught's important. But you got to understand it from who he is. Here's the first scripture I want you to see. We all know this scripture. Jesus said, don't misunderstand why I came to this earth. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. I came to accomplish their purpose. In other words, it'll say to fulfill the law. I came to, what in the world is he saying? Do you not understand and recognize that Jesus, when he walked this earth, was sinless, totally sinless? So he walked this earth not to make the point that you can be sinless, because he was sinless, not to make that point, but he came to accomplish everything the law was to do, was what? Cause us to have such a metanoia change in our thinking and in our heart that we won't care about. Listen, I'm done with opinion. I'm just done with opinion. Especially Bible thumping opinion. I get it. Look, I understand and I have strong understanding of the Word and how things ought to be. I have a strong understanding of that. And I know that our government, you know, all in the legislation of morality and stuff, I get all that. That does not discount, nor does it approve of your thoughts on it. He says we're to love one another, and that fulfills, that takes care of, that accomplishes the purposes of why Jesus came. Now, here's what's so interesting to me. So right after Jesus said this, here's what he did. He goes to this. I just handpicked some scriptures for you. You've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder, and if you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, watch this, if you're even angry with somebody, you're subject to judgment. Holy smoke, stop! I can't do that. But I came to fulfill this law, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to make it tougher on you than you've ever seen. Let's keep going. It gets gooder. You've heard the command that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anybody who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See how we wanted to do this? Keep going. There's actually more to this. Nah, 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 nah. You've heard that the law says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say, Jesus Christ, who came to accomplish and fulfill this law, that a man who divorces his wife, unless she's been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery, and anybody who marries a divorced woman has committed adultery. And right now, all of you who've been divorced and you're now remarried are just killing yourselves with this scripture. That's not the purpose. That doesn't fulfill the law. What fulfills the law is what Christ did when he died on the cross, and all that stuff was hammered in his body for 3 hours, hanging on the cross. Let's keep going. Look how hard it is. Oh, yeah. See, I've got it in big. You've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's what the law said. But I say, he said, don't resist an evil person. Somebody slaps you on your right cheek, offer the other cheek also. And if you're sued, I'd like to stop there just for a second. I've used this illustration before, but pay attention to that. On your right cheek, where's your right? Touch your right cheek. Okay, if I'm right-handed, I'm going to have to backhand you. You get it? Well, that kind of stuck. So if someone slaps you on the right, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt's taken from you, give them your coat too. Really? Really, God? And if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it for two. Here's what I'm wanting you to see here. Jesus is saying, but I say, intensify your love for other people. Do you get this? You've heard it said, don't commit adultery because you'll mess that up. I'm telling you, don't even look because you'll hurt those people. It wrongs others. That's why the whole law is absolutely, whole law is confirmed and done by us loving each other. Verse 42, give to those who ask, don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You've heard the law say, verse 43, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, of course, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, and in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain to the just and the unjust alike. That's just Matthew chapter 5. Go to 6 and 7. It goes on and on, man. It goes on and on to try to make you feel bad. That's not the purpose of it. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to notice Jesus' teaching. We look at our motives and not somebody else's. Because what our human nature tends to want to do is to become the law police and determine what other people are doing wrong. Therefore, we don't have to look at Jimmy Swaggart. And I'm not saying that to downplay. I'm making a point. Remember back when Jim Baker fell and all that? And Jimmy Swaggart got on national television and called Jim Baker a cancer in the body of Christ while he's going to a prostitute. Do you get what I'm saying? This word is not for everybody else. It's for you. I have to look at that. It's for me. It's not for me to determine if it's for you. It's for me. But once we start taking that in for me, Jesus has made such an incredible way for us to walk it out. And it's pretty cool, actually. So this teaching looks at their motives, not someone else's. And again, his teaching intensifies our love for others. So ask you these questions that I'm fixing to ask you, because they seem to not have anything to do with adultery and murder and going the extra mile. They really do. These are the questions let's ask ourselves. Do I demand justice? Do I hate in the name of righteous anger? Do I feel entitled at another's expense? Do I paint someone in a bad light? Do I serve others for what I can give or what I can get? Do I focus on changes others need to make more than on the changes that I need to make? Guys, these are tough questions to answer. And this is where the rubber meets the road concerning love. See, all that brings this heaviness in us, and it shouldn't. Because what Christ did totally, completely believe what he did for me on the cross, I am set free from all my ugly. And when you're in a love relationship like that, it's a natural process. But that's where the rubber meets the road. So I wrote down here, these are tough me questions to answer, because it's me questions. It's not other questions, because we tend to read one that we struggle with and we think of somebody else, so that way we don't have to deal with me. Now, Steve, I thought you said we're supposed to be Jesus conscious, not sin conscious. That's exactly right. I'm not contradicting what I said. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we got to be Jesus conscious, and then the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead that is in me, that's where that flows from. So here, I wrote a quote, so I put it in quotes. Until we believe we are totally justified in Jesus, we will never walk in true freedom or real love. Why? Because we will always be looking at what we need to do or what somebody else needs to do rather than who we are to become. Get that last part? Because we will always be looking at what we need to do rather than who we are to become. What are we to become? If you haven't read my book, read it. We're to become salt in the city. One of the greatest components of salt is it makes you thirsty. If your life doesn't make people thirsty, check your life. It also preserves. What does that mean? It means you can't send them to hell. You preserve them till God can deal with them. Got it? So, here's what I wrote, because this is true. This is too hard. This is absolutely impossible. Can everybody, would you, unless you're not, is that impossible for you, all this stuff? Everybody don't nod. Raise your hand like I am. Thank you very much. I just want to make sure that, there, well, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're lying. So, here's what's so cool. This is why Jesus did what he did. It's not too hard, but it is hard in that this, there's only one choice you have to make. One. There's only one choice you have to make. Look at here. We know this scripture like the back of our hand. But the Holy Spirit, stop. But the Holy Spirit produces. It's the Holy Spirit that produces. The Holy, your demand doesn't produce. Your understanding doesn't produce. Your opinion doesn't produce. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, which is absolutely will battle your flesh. Love, joy, battle in the flesh. Peace, can you sleep at night? Battle in the flesh, do you get it? Kindness, all these, one, there's no law. Look, there's no law against those things. But it's the Holy Spirit that produces it. So now let me stop right there and back up into your brain to what I said a while ago about divorce and adultery and all. Stop looking at that. Again, it's not about you. Go to him. He's the one that produces it. You struggling in your relationship? Go to him. Go to him. He lives in you. Go to him and say something. Go to him. And he will produce a love that you've never had for other people. He'll produce a joy that you didn't even know existed because you was confusing happiness with joy. He'll produce peace in you that does pass understanding so that people will accuse you that you ain't dealing with something, but you're just simply walking in peace. I've had that happen to me a lot. Man, you just went through all that. You ain't dealing with it. I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it. But I'm walking in peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one that in the boat that was asleep and everybody else was freaking out about the weather and they went and woke him up. And he calmed the sea, and we all go wow about him calming the sea. I'm more wowed about the fact that he slept through the storm. Amen. That's the peace I want. Amen. Where I can sleep through the storm. And thank the Lord for that. Okay. I hear you, Steve. I hear you. But I need a little bit more. Well, here's the truth. You can't create this fruit. Man, you can't. I can't make you love somebody. I can't make you have joy. That's impossible. I can't make you happy. I know you, there's not a person. Read all the books you want, man. You ain't, you know, all the how-to books, you know, like we need books like Love, Joy, Peace for Dummies. Anybody? I guess I could write that book and just have it be a one-page book with this scripture coming up, because we can't create it, but it's not in our nature. It's not in our nature. It's not in our ugly, nasty nature, but it is in his. Look at this. I, Jesus saying, John chapter 50, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. And remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Because a branch can't produce fruit if it's outside the vine. That is just so common sense, we shouldn't even have to have that in the Bible. You can't produce fruit outside the vine, and you can't be fruitful unless you stay in me. So now, do you understand where I go back to? I'm not contradicting anything. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus. When those ugly sins creep up, all the big ones we like to talk about in the law, you know, the adultery, the divorce, the hating people, when all those creep up, I go straight to him. The word says you can go boldly to him. The reason we can go boldly to Jesus, because he loves us. We can go boldly to Jesus because he took care of it on the cross, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible says ever interceding for us, talking good things about us. Satan, remember when he roamed? I told you about that last week, when he roamed around about Job. Dude, he's got to go through Jesus now. He comes in there and says, hey, man, you see Steve Van Zandt? Jesus goes, talk to the hand, buddy. You'll get that in a minute. Here's what I know, and this is my last point. I wrote it to make it clear. Our culture has changed. We cannot curse our culture. We have to love our culture to get our culture to understand who Christ is. And that you don't even have to say his name. Now, Steve, that is so whatever. In the beginning stages of when I was a chaplain, I hung with the guys a lot, and I'd just go in there and talk, never brought up. I mean, they knew I was a pastor, but never brought up anything. And I was on my way out the door one day, and one of the firefighters that nobody would have thought would have done this, you know what I'm saying, one of those hard-nosed firefighters, he said, Pope, they can call me Pope, Pope. I'm like, yeah, man. Why are you happy like you are all the time? And I said, well, because of Jesus. And I was leaving. All of a sudden, this chair comes rolling at me. Hits my leg. He goes, tell me about him. Did you know your life can, you can lead a life, you can lead a life of thirst, where you make people thirsty by who you are and not what you say, by who you are and not how smart you are. I don't know if you know, I've got a big old fish hanging in my office that I caught back in 2007. Striped marlin, weighed 102 pounds, 79 inches long. And I had to take down 4 degrees that I earned in college to put that up. But there was more than one reason that I did that. Took the degrees down so I could put the fish up. You get it? Now people come in and goes, man, and here's what's so funny. Did you catch that? Like I'm going to go to a garage sale and go, oh, how much is that marlin in the window? I do hope that marlin's for sale. All right, y'all can stand with me. Listen, oh, let me finish my saying here. I didn't finish it. Our culture has changed. Watch. Our culture has changed. The Word has not. Pursue the Holy Spirit with all you are. In other words, whatever of those uglies that we talked about where you went, ugh, again, the adultery and you know, just all those uglies. You take those to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he's the one. So the word's not changed. Pursue the Holy Spirit with all that you are. So if you have a question about anything in your mind, i.e., again, I go back to my driving because that's just something that drives me crazy. No pun intended. Give me practice, Lord. And that's the practice. Do you know there is no better thing than to drive a normal drive without having to get... Because my whole mindset is I'm going from point A to point B in a car on purpose. Get off your phone! Amen. You get it? That's my attitude. You might be out for a Sunday afternoon stroll. I got places to go and things to do. That has been my attitude. So by the time I get to my office, woo! Man, and it's everybody else's fault. Because that's what our flesh loves. That's why I tell you, love is completely contrary to our flesh. But line upon line, precept upon precept. This old guy here has been doing this. I told you, Easter, I preached my first sermon 44 years ago, which is older than you, right? You weren't even born when I preached my first sermon. Isn't that crazy? So, and I'm now to the point of understanding a little bit more, line upon line, precept upon. But I do know this. Something incredible is happening in our city, and it's because of you. It's because of you. And God is going to raise you up even more so. And I'm just excited about what he's doing. Go ahead, Gay, you can come up. Clean up the mess. She doesn't like me to say that when I say it, by the way.
Don't like it. I don't like talking about something that God gets all the glory and the credit for, because that's all him. But I do want to share something with you that I think will help us practically. You know, the reason that we have these messages or these things happen in our life, we always say this, you know, you're just getting leftovers. We have to eat it first before we can serve it to you. But I, you know, was going through some things in my head and getting caught up in my head on some stuff. It's what you're saying about, you know, the flesh. And just fear beginning to overwhelm me. Just, what if this, what if that, you know. Only one? Okay, I'm the only one. So, you know, thinking about those things, and I was in bed, and I just, you know, been reading, and I just didn't feel like I got what I needed from that particular scripture. And so I was just like, God. And he's like, Gay, who's bigger? Well, you're bigger. Well, you're bigger. And it was like, now I want you to go back over that whole list you just gave me. And I want you to say that after everything on that list. So I was like, God, I'm really afraid that. But God, you're bigger. And God, I really think that that's going to happen. But God, you're bigger. God, no, I cannot do this. But God, you're bigger. And I'm telling you, it felt so good to get out every fear and every what if and every doubt and to put onto that, but God, you're bigger. And what he was doing was taking who he is and decreasing my fear and increasing my faith. And that's why I could get up here this morning and talk to you about Aaron's snake just got bigger and bigger, eating up the other ones. That's why I can say to you that Caleb went in and said, I want the exact land where we first saw the giants. I'm still not afraid of them, and it doesn't matter how much older I am, because God is still bigger, and he's still true to his word. And I want to tell you, depression is a lie. It is meant to make you feel that you are weak, but God is bigger, and his word says when we are weak, he is strong. I'm at the best place I can be if I quit trying to figure it out.
So I want to go just for a second back to that fear thought. We all know the scripture. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, okay. Perfect love casts out fear, and it gives us, it says, a sound mind. Fear is pretty much the only tool that the enemy uses, because even including in his accusation is fear. So please understand, if you're walking any kind of fear, there is no God in that. There's none. But here's what I love about it, because I do fight those battles. Well, you heard my whole message last week, the battles of depression. But here's what I do know. I do know that He, if we really let that perfect love, it really will take care of that fear, and we really will have a sound mind, because that depression is in our brain, our phronium. And when we really grasp that and understand, that is the enemy. God never brings fear, ever. Sorry.
So I'm going to read this scripture over you and with you. It's out of Isaiah 41:10. First thing, fear not. He has to tell us that, because that's our human nature. First filter. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, because that's going to keep you from God. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Okay, so here's my right hand. This is the power of God. He's going to uphold me with his right hand. Right? He's going to uphold me. You with me? Because right hand always represents authority. But if you keep reading, he says in verse 12, excuse me, 13, I am holding you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. So if he's holding me with his right hand, which hand does he have? Which one? It's 50-50 shot you're going to get it right. Which one? Left. But he just said, I'll hold you by your right hand. So what does that tell me?
Locked and loaded.
What he's telling me is, Gay, I'm going to hold you down so that you can't get in the middle of what I'm doing, and we're just going to work together. And that's what I think the Lord is saying to us today. I'm going to use my strength and my authority, but I'm going to hold you. We're going to get in an agreement so you can't mess up what I'm doing. Because that is a lie from the enemy, that we're going to mess up what God is doing. I think I'm going to mess up what you're doing, but God, you're bigger. I'm afraid that I'm not going to measure up to their standard, but God, you're bigger. I'm afraid I'm going to fail, but God, you're bigger. And then when you move out in faith, here's the word to use. Here's the phrase. To God be the glory. And that's glorification. That's recognizing there's something going on between me and him. God's going to get the glory. I am saying that little phrase all the time to people, and I think they understand what I'm saying, and I don't care. Because I recognize that if there's any good thing that's in me, it's from God. And that's another phrase I'll say. Because to God be the glory. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you right now, let's just close our eyes. And let's just focus in on this. God, your great love. Your great love to send your son to make right what you knew I couldn't do, so that through the Holy Spirit, I will be empowered not just to have my sin covered, but to have power over the sin in my life. And I receive that help right now, Lord. I just receive help right now, Father. I'm asking you, God, to come into these dark places and remind me that you're bigger. And I want to thank you for holding my hand, Dad, so that I don't mess up what you're doing. I'm in agreement with you, God, this morning, that every doubt, every fear, every lie of the enemy is exposed today to this fact that you are for me and not against me. And God, I stand in agreement with you, Lord. Let me, God, be loved that I may love. Let me love that way, God. Fill us today with your love, Lord. And thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. Oh, God, if there's any good thing, it's you. May you be glorified in all that we do. For this we thank you in Jesus' name. And they all said,